That was from Wednesday. That was Gerard Mayo talking to the media. I missed that. I was out on Wednesday.
Suspended.
Suspended by Jerry Jones for some comments I made about his comments about the other radio shows. Not actually what happened, but either way, I was not here.
Run with it.
And I completely missed those comments. Those comments really, I was upset by that. Did you find those upsetting?
The fact not at that all.
Here we are, we're not in on Adams, we're not in on Cooper, we're not in really on any of these guys, because we're not in that cycle. Those teams are in a cycle where it makes more sense for them to go out and make trades and try and bring in talent at the wide receiver position, but we're not in a cycle like that. And the reason why it bothered me, Andy, is not even so much because of in-season stuff, but there was a lot of other bad teams that made moves in the offseason that I think you should have been trying to do. And I mean, Washington had a big spending spree on the offensive line. They brought in Eckler. They brought in Ertz, who's not great, but I mean, he's better than Austin Hooper. So, you know, they made some moves there to surround their rookie quarterback. Carolina made a bunch of moves. Tennessee made a bunch of moves. And now you may look at them and think, oh, it doesn't matter because they still stink. Well, yeah, they're bad teams trying to get better. And that's the way they went about doing it, as opposed to your way, which was, let's just bring back all our own same old players and go out and sign a bunch of backups. And that's basically what happened. And that's why it bothered me. So it's one thing to sort of punt on that. But then as the season goes on and your rookie quarterback comes out and you realize that he's not surrounded with any talent and that there's guys out there on the trade block who are available to be moved, and you're not even in on it because it's not the right cycle like that. I don't like that. I don't like that whole philosophy. It seems like an easy one to just keep saying over and over again as long as you want to. It's like the Red Sox. Well, now's not the time to be going out there and spending big on free agents. We got to wait until the young players all come into their own, and then we'll start spending. Yeah, that's it. We'll start spending next time as soon as everything starts getting better. And it's just like, things aren't really getting better here with this team. They're 1-5. They're probably going to end up being 2-15 or 3-14 or something like that this year. In the event that they win this game on Sunday, I think that might be the last game they win this season. They're just that kind of team. So for them to and everybody to suddenly assume, oh yeah, things will get better, and once you're better, then yeah, you can go out into the market and start trading for wide receivers again and trying to spend big money on playmakers and stuff like that, do it now. I don't understand why, with all this cap space that you currently still have, this is some taboo thing to go out and want to do. It just doesn't make sense to me.
So this is what I was referencing earlier, that I think it snuck up on you that this is a multi-year plan that they've enacted, and that I think that's why it doesn't bother me, because you know I've had kind of a two-year approach to this the whole time.
Sure.
You know, the whole Andy Hart plan is lose this year. I think Elliott Wolf did too. Somebody tweeted me something today, or no, maybe it was you, and the email was like, it's almost like he didn't put together a great team on purpose. Oh, you think he might have been looking at this as a multi-year build and saving his money and looking, you know, the closest thing that they did to aggressive was Calvin Ridley, correct? A $90 million receiver. That's relatively aggressive. And I think they were in on it at that price in part because they said where the cap is going, if he's our number two in a year or two, that's okay. It's okay to have an overpaid number two receiver if we now pair him up with T. Higgins. But other than that, I think they were looking at things that they said, we're not going to waste the money. Like, none of these really make sense. Now, there's two separate issues here that you've kind of combined. I agree wholeheartedly with Gerard Mayo for this week. I don't really know why you'd acquire a $32 million receiver who isn't going to come here. It was a bag job, right? He's popping up.
He was going to the Jets. I understand that, but for them to be like, yeah, we didn't even
stuff.
Yeah, that, exactly. I mean, they
and Amari Cooper is sort of, you by your own admission, he hasn't had a great year. He's kind of a fading talent. A lot of drops this year. I do believe like they made sense. They would have been better. Davante Adams would have sure as heck been better than Mohamed Sanu in the final year of Brady.
Absolutely,
when you scramble, right? You know, like, and that's where you were in that cycle. You were desperate. I think the Jets are desperate. I actually think they're in a slightly different cycle than the Bills. The Jets are desperate. The Bills have Josh Allen. The Bills are going to run this division until somebody else says we run this division because of Josh Allen, the way they have for 4 years, looking like a fifth year. Now, they needed to get him some weapons because that's a little Brady-like. If you're just going to, Josh Allen will figure it out. We're not going to give him anything to work with. So they went out and did that. But in terms of going back to the offseason, I do think some of, even those other teams are a little bit ahead of you. Like, Terry McLaurin is a true number one receiver.
He is, I agree. But, I mean, they were still a crap team last year.
No, I know, because they needed a quarterback and because they had a crap coach. And, like, there were issues there. But my point is, they are a step ahead of you. I would say the Chicago Bears are significantly better than you. They are significantly ahead of you because of, like, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, like some of the things they had in place for Caleb Williams, significantly ahead of you.
It was pretty much just those two guys, and they also traded for Keenan Allen in the offseason, and this is the team that picked first overall. I'm going by the teams that picked ahead of you or in the draft, and now I know the Bears traded up to get there, but still, they were not a good team the year before. They were sort of struggling. They needed a quarterback. They needed all this stuff, and they went out and got it. They drafted another wide receiver with their other pick in the first round. Like, they took it more seriously than you did, I feel like. That's just how it looks. It looks like they're not taking this team and this season seriously. And yeah, that's what I wrote. It's almost like Wolf wants the team to suck this year. And yep. I don't think that's a great strategy. I'm sorry. 617.
I love it.
Okay, 617-779-7937. Jamal's in traffic. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey guys, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Jamal.
It's so crazy because I know I called about Gerard Mayo saying something, but I've been on hold so long, so many Patriots things have been going through my mind.
Okay.
Like the fact that this is like the most amazing male soap opera for anyone that's a Patriots fan. The most amazing story is going on right now. Like, we have the owner, like, we don't know if he's Kobayashi. We have the young rookie quarterback who's so promising. We have the head coach who we don't know if he's a puppet or not. You know, there's just so much stuff going on. It's just nuts.
Yeah, you're right about that. Thanks for the call, Jamal.
I agree. It's nuts, and I have no idea where this is going, because as much as I, like, the latest thing I just said, I liked his plan, build a bad team, stink this year, get another high pick. I don't know if I trust him with $130 million and the number one pick in the draft.
I'm not sure I do either.
That's honest. That's me being honest. Like, I like the plan on paper.
He had $80 million in the third overall pick this year, and he just made another crap team. So it's
and like, he nailed the third overall pick. You got to give him credit for that.
We think he did. I mean, I hope he did.
Well, we both put him at the top of our Patriots. What is it? Patriot Pillar Power Rankings,
but that's also damning with faint praise, because for me, it's the quarterback at number one, and everybody else is tied for fifth. Like, I don't even really space him out that much. Like, he's the best of a bad field, is how I look at it.
But this is the reality, and I don't want to say that they're in the, like, what are people, like, it's the dryer and the tumbler, and you get right. Suck, and you tumble over again and again. I don't know that that's going to be the case, but we also saw Bill Belichick struggle with it. That was the end of the Bill Belichick tenure, is him trying to figure this out, him trying to manipulate drafting a quarterback in the first round, spending a boatload of money in free agency, in which his owner said, we used to mock teams that did this. Right. We made fun of teams that did this. Now they're the team being made fun of for giving Jonnu Smith too much money, Nelson Aguilar too much money. And now you're in the second rebuild, or phase two of the first rebuild, or however we want to differentiate this. But I agree with the caller. Is there anything you'd bet on right now? I mean, I guess we both declared we'd kind of bet on Drake May, that we feel as good about that as anything we can in the organization. The rest of it is a massive TBD for the next year. Like, over the next year, I feel like we're either going to say, oh my God, they blew the offseason and they blew the draft pick. They got to go. They suck.
Yep.
Or, oh, they've turned a corner. They're going in the right direction. And don't you want to be, I guess the Bears would probably be the example. Bears have, I think, turned a corner here talent-wise. They have the quarterback. I feel like they're deciding.
Of who you want to be like? Yeah, the Bears are like the Texans, I'd say, from
Texans,
last year.
Texans, definitely.
Like, yeah, it's another one. But yeah.
But that's a high bar. That's
Washington's looking good.
Washington is looking good, and I find that interesting. I wonder if they're as good as they look right now, because they're like you. They turned over the GM, the head coach, the quarterback.
Yep.
They did the whole damn kit and caboodle.
And they didn't do it all internally either. They found guys from outside the organization that they liked, and they brought them in, and they started over.
Right.
I mean, that's a rebuild.
But they also didn't have the right people in the building. like, no one was going to argue True. They had a good organization or a good structure or track record or anything. They're the worst franchise in all of sports, maybe.
Fair,
over the last whatever number of years. So they had to go outside the building. But no, I think the caller, this is a soap opera. This is a soap opera that's going to continue for months and months, but we're going to get some sort of resolution by this time next year, where we will, I think, feel a lot differently, better or worse. I don't know if it's better or worse, but a lot differently about everything.
All right, 617-779-7937. If you want to jump on, we'll take a quick break. Stiz is going to get you caught up on what's trending, and when we come back, we'll have our scouting report of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's next.